Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside.fm allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to episode number 22 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. My name is Josh. If you are new, I appreciate you being here to listen to my reactions and recapping these last few games that happened with the New York Knicks. If you could tell by the title later in the episode, in a little bit, you don't have to wait too long. I'm going to be joined by my guest slash interim co-host for this episode, Nikki Snacks. He's on Bleeding Blue. He's on Simple Man Radio. He's come on Talking Giants and stuff like that. He's really big in the Giants community, if you know that well. But he's also a huge Knicks fan. Huge Knicks fan. And I wanted him to get his own platform to talk about the New York Knicks, which he doesn't do a lot. So I thought I would give him the chance to do it on here. And as you could tell from where I said interim co-host, I'm normally joined by my co-host Tobias. He is celebrating the holidays right now. He's actually in Europe, so he's enjoying himself and seeing family. So hopefully he'll be back. Normally we do 5 predictions at the end of each episode, where we do the 5 predictions, go through them, win or loss, and then after the 5 games are over, we come back and we do the next 5, you know, like a normal cycle. Because Toby isn't here today, he will be back by the second game of when the second game ends. So the next 2 games are the Thunder, which is happening, I don't know when you're listening, but tomorrow for me, I'm recording this on Thursday, so tomorrow on December 31st, New Year's Eve, they play at 8 o'clock against the Thunder, and then on Sunday, January 2nd, against the Raptors. By the time the Sunday game is over, Toby will be back, and he'll be able to join me, so you'll hear from us, hopefully sooner than later. I would say Monday, but I don't know for sure. But anyway, let's get into this a little bit. The most recent one I want to talk about was obviously the game last night. Knicks defeat the Pistons in a game that should have looked a little bit easier than it did. And I want to give all the credit to the New York Knicks bench, because that really kept them in this one. In the third quarter, the Knicks lost their lead. They were outscored 30-16 by the Detroit Pistons. Now, mind you, the Pistons are 5-28. 5-28. They sit, I want to see exactly, but I assume, yes, last in the Eastern Conference, and could very well have, the worst record in the NBA. And yet, the Knicks only beat them by 9. Now, the Knicks, they're struggling themselves, right? They're 17-18 right now. They're on a 2-game win streak, and both games coming on the road, so a good start for this road stand right now, as they'll continue as they go to their third game on the road against the Thunder. They're on a long road stand here. They start off with the Timberwolves, and they went to the Pistons, then the Thunder, Raptors, and then they're back on Tuesday, next Tuesday, against the Pacers. So 2 more games here on the road, but the first 2 start out with wins. Yes, I like that. But they got outscored 30-16 against the Pistons in the third quarter, and then came back in the fourth, outscoring them 30-14. But I really do have to give credit to Alec Burks off the bench. With 34 points in 27 minutes. Great performance by him. We once again see Obi Toppin doing pretty well, getting 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist in 22 minutes. And we said it here on the podcast so many times. I think this might be the third or fourth time that I'm mentioning it, which I don't know if that's so many, but give Obi Toppin more minutes. The man deserves it. I think we need to see what he can do in a starting role. And yet we still, I'm not Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau doesn't put Toppin in the starting role. He doesn't. And I get it. It's the five. It's Walker. It's Fournier. We have to play those guys. We signed them in free agency. Not saying we have to, but then there's Barrett coming back from COVID protocol. He was all right. 15.7 rebounds in 25 minutes. I like to see what he had there. You know, Randall didn't show anything, really. The stat line's okay with 5 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. In 26 minutes, though, Julius Randall's on and off, and a player who I really want to talk about is on and off since he's come off his little spell on the bench, I can say, for a few games. Coming back was Kemba Walker, the signing for the Knicks, who Tom Thibodeau took him out of the rotation for a few games. Then, because of COVID, brought him back. He scored 30 in like 2 straight games, whatever it was. And now he's on a dry spell. Again, Walker needs to get taken out of the starting five. Has to. We saw quickly running point towards the end of this game. We saw Grimes coming in. Didn't do so well in his 13 minutes, but he was in there. Miles McBride coming in, playing a chunk amount. Didn't have any points in this game. 4 rebounds, 3 assists in 25 minutes. Quickly. Start quickly. Start Grimes. I don't care. I cannot have Kemba running point, and I'm sure I will get to that with Snacks when I talked about that with him in a few minutes. So there's that. There's Kemba Walker, and you know what? I think it's time for him to sit down again. The other game that I want to mention was the Knicks win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was a pretty sloppy game on both sides of things. I like to give credit to the Timberwolves. They fought their way through the whole thing. Same thing with the Pistons. Two players that I would like to give a shout out was Sadiq Bey and Hamidou Diallo. Hamidou Diallo with 31 points in 39 minutes. Also had 4 assists and 13 rebounds. And Sadiq Bey, 32 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. And I think I just got breaking news. As I'm recording this, I don't know if you heard the ding, you might have. Knicks. Julius Randle is in COVID-19 protocols and is out for Friday's game versus the Thunder. So it looks like Julius Randle, in fact, does have COVID-19. And perfect timing to get my guest input on this. So again, Nikki Sacks, look forward to that. We'll talk about that a little bit. Mitchell Robinson has been very good for this Knicks team of late. I mean, had the best game of the season for himself against, I want to say it was, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Scoring 14 points, having 18 rebounds in 32 minutes. 18 rebounds! Randall did well in that game as well, having 15. He'll be out now. He'll be out now for at least a week. And I want to look and say there are a few other injuries as well in here. And that is going to be, or not injuries, but other players who are in COVID protocol. That is, I want to say Noel and Wayne Selden Jr. due to COVID-19 will be out until at least January 4th. But that's enough talking from me. I think now, I mean, there's one more thing which everyone knows by now. Of course, we recorded it a little too late. Derrick Rose with the ankle surgery is going to be out for at least 8 weeks. But I've covered basically everything here on the little intro. Let's send it to the interview with Snacks. All right, we are back now with a very special guest. I said in the intro, you don't really get to talk about Knicks too often on a podcast, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to do so. Nikki Snacks, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. You're right. I don't. This is really the only Knicks podcast out there that I'll listen to, and you know, I like to tweet my thoughts and everything, but now I get to verbally spew some nonsense about our Knicks. So I truly appreciate you having me on. A little long overdue, I'll say, but it's okay. It's okay. It's better late than never. Better late than never. No, I'm just busting your chops, Josh. Happy to be here. Doing great. Wishing everybody a happy new year.
Well, you came on at a perfect time because my co-host Tobias, who's normally on here, ditched me for the holidays. So he's not here. So, I mean, I know you say better late than ever, but when I needed an interim co-host, you came in clutch. So I'll give you that. So thank you.
I was happy to do it. Happy to do it.
So what we do is we go through the last, I would say, 5 games, because that's like the time we record. We do our 5 predictions. So I kind of like have bullet points for all of the games. The ones that are far in the past, like the Christmas Day game, I'm going to run through it real quick. And then we can get to the main talking points. And what I said in the intro, it actually broke as I was doing the quick little thing, that Randall is now in COVID protocol. Randall is now, Julius Randall, the power forward for the New York Knicks, the star, the one star that the quote-unquote the Knicks have, is now in COVID protocol. So we'll talk about how obviously that'll impact the team. So let me just run through the bullets real quick. So the first matchup against the Pistons that happened last week, Walker and Fournier were still balling, making clutch shots. Sounds a little funny now. Mitchell Robinson came up big on the defensive side of things. Then we had the unfortunate loss to the Washington Wizards. Didn't come up our way, although Kemba dropped 44 points, had 9 rebounds and 8 assists. We had the Christmas Day absolute domination against the Hawks. That was really fun to watch, especially on national television. You had the F Trae Young chant at the end of the game, which then Trae Young then responded with a tweet saying, "They only say it at the end now. Smart, at least all I heard." Trae Young didn't even play in that game, so of course he has something, you know, he has something there to talk about, but the Knicks fans were able to easily say it with nothing to worry about because he wasn't there shushing the crowd. Then you had Randall put up 25 points and 12 rebounds in that game. So for some reason, why do I feel like always when it's not TNT, ABC, whatever it is, Randall shows up on national TV, but then you always hear about Randall not showing up when there's no national audience.
It doesn't make sense. And I think at a certain point, we'll talk more about Julius, but last year he was obviously so great. And this year it seems like he's just fell off a cliff. Now, does that have anything to do with all these arenas having full capacity? Like, you know, they were playing pretty much like pickup ball last year in front of nobody. There was no noise, nothing in his head, nothing like that. And now it's like, okay, you're playing in front of 15, 20,000 people a night and your production's dipped back to what it was before your all-NBA team last year. So I don't know if it's a coincidence or what's going on, but you're right. It's just a weird dynamic. TNT, he'll go missing. And then Christmas Day, it's on ESPN, and then he plays like he did last year. So the consistency drives me crazy. I don't know what it is, if it's a psychological thing or something, but he's got to find it. Got to find it.
Walker in that game put up a triple-double in 40 minutes, 10, 10, and 12, which, I mean, the point total you would wish is a little bit higher, but good for him at that point in time. Grimes and Fournier put up 15 each. Then we had the Knicks against the Timberwolves, which was the second-to-last game. They beat the Timberwolves, although sloppy on both sides, turnovers on both ends. We got it done. We got the win. Mm-hmm. I give them credit. The real thing that I looked at when it came to the team stats is the end of things. The Knicks from the three-point line, 40% from three. The Timberwolves down to 18% from three. Field goals were about the same. 41 to the Knicks side, 40 to the Timberwolves side, but they could not shoot the three ball. So I think that really messed them up. And then Mitchell Robinson had the best game of his season, 14 points and 18 rebounds. I mean, Snacks, you have any? I mean, I'll give you the floor to talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, no. So I've been a little bit vocal about my how do I say it, dislove of Mitchell Robinson. You know, in today's NBA, the center position, the way Mitchell plays it, just under the basket and everything like that, is kind of foreign territory. A lot of these centers go out and they shoot threes and everything, and Mitchell just obviously can't do that. But what he does do well is those putbacks, those dunks at the rim and grabbing rebounds. So 14 and 18 is something that please give me more of on a consistent basis. You're 8'11". You're the tallest guy in almost every game. I want to see that kind of performance where you're catching lobs from Kemba quickly. You're putting back missed shots. You're rebounding the ball at will. If he can, I don't need 14 and 18 every game. I would love like 10 and 12 or 8 and 12. I think that's a parameter that Mitchell Robinson should be at. But yeah, he's been playing pretty well, and I'm happy to see it. And you know, Tibbs and his philosophy, he wants a defensive center that is protecting the paint at all times, whether it's him, Noel, Taj, those three guys. They can't go out, shoot, and score, but they do their little nuanced things very well. And if Mitchell can stay consistent with the game he just had a couple of days ago, then I think that's a key cog in the team, and that's gonna force his turnaround. But I'm happy for Mitch. He's trying to shut me up, and I hope he does nothing less than shut me up, because that would make me very happy.
In the Garden, I would say there are like the two main plays that happen in this Knicks team that like really get the Garden going, and that's Obi Toppin when there's no one around him and he's doing windmill dunks left and right. He's getting alley-oops. And then honestly, it's Mitchell Robinson's putbacks. Mm-hmm. The amount of dunks that he has that are over people, or that his arms are so far from his head, like he's reaching so high up and just like getting the rebound, just going right up, like it's so easy, right? He's dipping the cookies in the milk is unbelievable. I mean, I saw some of them last night against the Pistons. Just the amount of athleticism that guy has, the length, the width, whatever, is incredible.
No, it really is, and I want him to be playing more to those strengths. And if he's doing that, this team is going to succeed, because he's a great defender. He could block literally any shot from anybody. How many times have we seen him run out to the 3-point line and block a 3-point attempt? Like, he's got that in his arsenal. He's got those putback dunks in his arsenal. It's just sometimes he looks like lackadaisical, and I think he even admitted he wasn't in the best shape. Which, I mean, that's kind of ballsy to admit out loud, but. Looks like he's coming into his own finally after a couple months of the season. So hopefully this continues. And you're 100% right about the two things that get the Garden going. I've been to four games this year, and the loudest that the Garden gets is when Obi dunks the ball and Mitchell dunks the ball in a putback too. So with a third being Emmanuel quickly stepping back for three. Everybody just loves quickly. So yeah, that's it. And I truly want to see this continuing from Mitch. And if it does, then I think we're going to be in a better place.
Now, I had the COVID updates basically written down here, just saying mostly everyone's back from COVID, including Grimes and Quickly, who we saw in the last few games. Jericho Sims and Lucas Simonic, Sims basically, he's been on the team this whole time. Simonic was dominating in the G League. They called him up, didn't really get that many minutes. They're both game time decisions right now due to COVID protocols. Wayne Selden Jr., due to COVID-19, will be out until at least January 4th. He played a little bit. Noel is going to be out until next game. I think he could be available for the game against the Thunder. And then now you have Julius Randle, who's going to be out for at least, what, three games, you would say, because they play
at minimum, yeah.
Friday, Sunday, Tuesday.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say he misses the next three.
Yeah, at least.
And I would do you – off the top of my head, I'm sorry, I don't want to – because the next two I know are winnable. They should win, at least. You got the Thunder, the Raptors, and then you got the Pacers. Those are three winnable games. So if you can get by without Julius, and you take it, they better go at minimum 2 or 3. So, I would say Julius is out until after next Tuesday.
All right, so we're all caught up. We got through everything. Now it's a Pistons game. Knicks won 94-85. Again, I mentioned the Timberwolves game was sloppy. This was just, we were getting outplayed in that third quarter. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat, down by 12, and once again, the Knicks bench comes in, saves the day. So, why is it always that the Knicks bench comes in and saves the day? Because it's not been once or twice this season. There have been a handful of games where the Knicks bench has come in, set the tone, and the Knicks have gotten a victory.
Yeah, and there's even a couple games, couple instances earlier in the season, and I think against Brooklyn too, where they were losing big. The bench comes in and they put them right back in the game. They're right back in the game. Those third quarters, we call it the third quarter of doom. I don't know what it is. Does it have something to do with that bench has another year of experience together? They have that cohesiveness, that chemistry that they started with last year. And, you know, the starters have two new guys that you take out, Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock. You add in Kemba and Fournier. And you would think after a couple months that the chemistry would start clicking, but it just hasn't. Look at this Pistons game. Did you see the plus minus from the bench and the starters? All the starters were like minus 20 plus. All the bench guys were plus 27 and over. That's unheard of. Not one starter plus minus was positive. All the bench guys over 27 positive. That's insane. Insane.
Yeah. And
it's crazy.
I mean, Burke's an example of that, right? Dropping 34 in 27 minutes. Oh,
thank God for Burks. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's been a key role piece. I'm glad that we kept him around. You know, obviously we lost some in the offseason, but to keep Burks around on a pretty fair deal, I want to say, was good
for 10 million.
Yeah, it was good for the Knicks in their favor. Yeah. I want to go to the signings now because we talk about Kemba, we talk about Fournier, and then I said in the beginning when we had Walker dropping triple doubles, dropping 40, dropping 30 after he came back from his little spurt on the bench, or not even on the bench, out of the rotation completely by Thibodeau. Yeah. Then we had to bring him back because, well, we needed him. We had guards on the COVID protocols left and right. So he comes in, he sets the tone, takes a starting role back, and now a little cold spell, little dry spell, whatever you want to call it. Had 20 minutes last night, went 2-2-2. So
yes, not great.
No, not at all. And I mean, you saw the same thing from Randall as well. In 26 minutes, he had 5, 5, and 10. So, you know, these star players, but especially I want to keep it because again, we can talk about Randall individually. The signings I feel like are always grouped together in Fournier and Walker because they were the two guys who were brought in to help make this team better. And yes, again, there are three or four games where we saw Fournier go off and Walker go off, but this is what happens when you sign players that could very well be past their prime, and I think Kemba Walker's is a big example of that.
Yeah, they're very volatile players, especially Evan Fournier, who's been a pretty volatile player his whole career, and I mean, like the consistency is just never there, and you bring in a guy like him to score. Clearly, he is... I loved what Reggie Bullock gave to the team last year, 3-and-D guy. But throughout their courses of their careers, Fournier and Bullock, Fournier is a better offensive player. Always has been. You know, Bullock clearly the better defender, clearly. But this team needed offense. We saw that in the Hawks series. They just couldn't score. And a lot of the times they couldn't score during games last year. And you bring Fournier in for an offensive punch, and the consistency is just – it's maddening because we're paying him $17, $18 million a year to be a consistent scorer. And I think he's averaging, what, 14 points a game maybe, something like that, from a guy who usually averages 18. I don't know. This Knicks front office, this new regime over the course of two seasons, does not really have many bad marks on their resume. They've drafted tremendously. They've developed guys. But this was, I was pretty confused when they signed him in the first place. I know when he was with the Magic, he would just always go off on the Knicks. Maybe that stuck to him. I have no idea. But he's not a guy that you can rely on. And when you're paying a guy that much money and he's not playing crunch time fourth quarter minutes, that's saying a lot. And Kemba, we all figured was kind of past his prime. Guy got like $8 million for a year. You know, that should tell you everything you have to know. He's coming off some injuries and just inconsistent play. But for a point guard needy team and a former All NBA player to get him at $8 million was to me a steal. And obviously getting 44 points and a triple double, and he scored 30 his first game back, or he was pushing it. You knew that was not going to last all year. He's going to go hot and cold. I expect that. I don't expect that from Evan Fournier. I need him to be a consistent player. I need him to be an offensive cog in the starting role. But it's just, it hasn't been there yet. Hopefully he puts it together. I hope. But we're what, 2 months into the season now? How much longer can we really expect for him to just flip a switch and become consistent? So it's kind of a salty taste in my mouth. I look back in the off season when you probably could have went hard after Alonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan. I don't know. Look at the Bulls. Seems to be working okay. So it's tough, but you know what? I'm gonna err on the side of optimism and hope that at least Fournier can turn into a more consistent player. Kemba, I'll take the validity or the volatile play of Kemba. If that means a couple games or a game a week that he's going to drop 40 and give us a chance to win. But we'll see. Got to see some consistency. Moral of the story. Got to see it.
And I want to say with Fournier, I know we didn't see him last night because he was injured with the sore right ankle. And then, I mean, I don't know if Tibbs is going to do it because he likes to stick to his morals, right? He sticks.
Very stubborn.
Right. He will not make a change. Now, like, I have said that, and then he proceeds to go and take Walker completely out of the rotation. So that surprised a lot of Knicks fans. Although, for some reason, and I know, like, I'm going to be part of the Quickly love, he just can't seem to start Emmanuel Quickly, and he can't seem to give Obi Toppin more minutes. Now, I don't know what he needs to see from the both of them, but something needs to click. Like, okay, they're performing when I give them the chances. Can we give them the next step up? It's been 2 years.
Right.
They're here. They made it. Like, this is their time to shine. And then he's still not giving them that extra push in minutes.
Yeah, and it really doesn't make any sense to me. When he took Kemba out of the lineup, I thought it was a logical move to put Quickly at point guard. Now, I get playing Burks, but Burks is... I love Burks, but he's not like a playmaker type. I think you can get more playmaking skill from Quickly, and you want that in your starting point guard. I guess his thought process is Quickly gives us that 3-point punch off the bench, which I can understand. You know, you want a spark plug like a Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, 6-man type, J.R. Smith back in the day for the Knicks, a guy who can come in and score. And he can get hot, score 15 points in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Just hit three after three after three. So I get that aspect of it, but I mean, this is a young kid with a lot of energy who can clearly play. I thought infusion of some youth into that starting lineup, which yes, it's young, but Quickly is a young guy too. And the speed and the energy would really benefit that starting lineup that had struggled all year and still continues to. Speaking of Obi, Obi's confidence from like the beginning of last year, almost all of last year, his confidence, you could just see a different basketball player on the court. He is confident with the ball. He's taking shots. And granted, he doesn't make a lot of them, but I'm okay with that. He brings high energy. He goes 110% every play, and he's just not getting the burn that he deserves. But right now, these next three games, all eyes on Tibbs for me, because Obi should be in the starting lineup and he should be playing the brunt of these minutes with Randall out. This is the time to shine. And if he plays well, there's no excuse not to be playing him moving forward. Why not play a little small ball? You know, you can take Mitch out. I know you have Noel and Taj, and I know, you know, Tibbs loves those old school centers for defensive purposes and whatnot. But there may be a point in time where you're going to need Obi's athleticism and his energy. Play him at center. Play Randall at center. Mismatch on people. It's just, I don't know. I'm really hoping and praying that Obi takes these games, takes these minutes that he better get, and runs with it and gives Tibbs no option but to play him more.
And I mean, you mentioned Randall. Let's go to him now. So he won't be in the lineup for at least a week, we assume, for the next three games. It just hasn't been the same, you know, to what last season was, maybe because he was relied on more. Although I still remember that we still valued Bullock, Burks, and a few other guys on the team. you know, they were still getting points. I mean, Randle, yes, he outshot everyone. He mostly got the most points. Now they're sharing around the ball a little more. I understand that, but it's just something's not there. He averaged 24 points last year. Right now it's only 19. And I know we're almost halfway through the season, right? The season's not over yet. It's nowhere close to there, but he's not been good. I mean, his three-point percentage was higher last year. His field goal percentage was higher last year. He had more assists last year. So, like, everything is below par to what it was. It's not just, like, one thing. It's like, oh, yeah, his three-point percentage is down a little bit, but he doesn't take that many threes. Oh, his points per game is down, but it's only, like, a little bit. I mean, 6 or 5 points is crucial. I mean, going from 24 to 19, that's a pretty significant drop in points per game.
Yeah, especially he's still the number one option. You know, when your number one option is scoring 19 points, it's tough to consistently win in the NBA nowadays. He's reverted back to old Julius Randle. We'll get a great game like we got on Christmas, 25 and 12, and then we'll get 5, 5, and 5, whatever we had. Like, it's just, I don't get it. You didn't see many bad games from him last year at all, Josh. Like, he was consistent all year. Yeah, you'd have a hiccup here and there. But through 72 games, he was electric. He was dynamite. He shot the ball well. He did everything well. Now, I don't know if it's like they bring in Fournier to be relied on to score more, and that maybe took Julius aback a little bit, because with Bullock wasn't getting the ball and shooting the ball 15 times a game like Fournier. So Julius had his opportunities. They spaced the floor a little bit better last year. You know, they had Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock in the lineup, who those two don't shoot. They didn't score. So Julius probably took it into his own hands and he was able to create better opportunities. But I don't know if it's that they figured him out or that he's just, you know, it was a 1 year wonder. I'm not sure. He's always been like a solid player, just inconsistent. Last year was an outlier. But it's a little alarming because this team is going to absolutely do nothing if Julius does not, you know, play to the level that we expect him, you know, that we expect now of him, from what we saw last year. So I'm hoping that, you know, after he gets out of the protocol and kind of rejuvenates himself a little bit, maybe rest, maybe had some tired legs, you know, it's understandable. They play a lot of minutes in Tibbs's system, and he played all of last year. So I'm hoping this is a little, if he has COVID, this is hard to say that, you know, you're going to be rejuvenated afterwards, but some fresh legs, some relaxation could do him wonders, and we need it bad.
And when you look at the contract, that's another story to talk about. When you sign a guy like Randle, we talked about it all, you know, last offseason. Should you give him the contract? It's only been 1 year of, like, really good play. Is it worth it? They did it. So they pulled the trigger. They got him for 4 more years. For over $115 million.
Which I will say real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Coming off a second team All-NBA, most improved player, and he had a terrific year. And they didn't get, he didn't take like the super max deal, whatever it was. He did take a, quote unquote, from his perspective of what his year looked like last year, a more team friendly deal. Maybe he knew he was going to come back to the old Julius. But regardless, you're right. It's 4 more years. That contract's not going to be very tradable. So we have to hope and hope and pray that he gets back to what we saw last year.
Yeah. I mean,
they took the risk. They did it right after 1 year. They didn't have to. They could have waited till after this year. Now, if he goes out and has the same year or an even better year, then yeah, you're in a bind. So I can understand what they were thinking, but it was still a risk. So, let's fingers crossed. I after decades of misery, and after 1.5 years of this new regime, I have faith in them. So we'll see.
And you would have to think either they told his agent or they told him directly to sign the team friendly deal because, hey, Julius, we're going to bring you some extra help. You know, we're going to sign some other guys that's going to help you out. Now, maybe Randle didn't know that it was going to be Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, or maybe he did. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie and say, like, I didn't like the signings. When we signed Walker and Fournier, I was I wasn't going crazy, but I was excited. I was really excited. I was like,
absolutely.
And then you look to the depth chart and you're like, oh my God, there's so many different lineups you can craft up, because then we got Grimes, we got McBride, and we have Quickley and Toppin. And you're like, oh my God, they have three starting lineups that they can just put on the floor.
Yep.
And then COVID, and then poor performances. Like Walker and Fournier look bad. Walker gets benched. Walker comes back in because everyone else has COVID. Randall's not, you know, going as good as he should have. He should be doing. I mean, all these problems compiled on top of each other, and then you go back like 4 or 5 months ago, we were talking about how many different lineups we can have.
Yep,
we can't.
Yeah, it's crazy. All these problems seem to happen at once too. You know, Rose goes down with an injury, which is a massive loss.
Yes.
You know, Rose is a huge, huge loss. We didn't mention that. And you have these bench guys, like you said, all these different lineups, but then injuries hit, COVID hit, poor performance. It all just came into one. You know, if that happens, those little things happen throughout the year. Fine. I get that. But there is talent on this team, and they have a good coach. They have the right structure. They have everything. But everything going on and combusting together all at once, you're doomed. Now they've kind of come out alive a little bit. You know, the Washington game kind of still pisses me off. They should have won that one, but they won three in a row. They're in the easy part of their schedule, and they got to take advantage. They have to. They're a game out of the six spot, which it's very early for that. Right. But you know, I just wanted to point that out. So they are right there, but they really, really have to start taking advantage of these winnable games. Like you can't have a full healthy team and lose twice to the Orlando Magic at home. You can't. Like those two games might very well be the difference between a six seed and a play-in game. Like I know it may sound dramatic. We're not even in January yet, but those come back to you. They really do. So it's putting it together. And I wish Tibbs would be more creative with the lineups, because like you were saying, there's so much they can do. And it clearly McBride and Grimes can play. They can play. So they should be getting more minutes. I'm a big Grimes fan. Anybody that's got confidence in their shot like he does as a rookie, you know, playing, I think he's been in like 11 games maybe. I'm a big fan. They can both defend. They can both score. So that he's got to loosen up on his stubborn ways and really trying to piece different lineups together and see what works and, you know, play with that starting lineup, you know, like do something. Those starters cannot be up 7 at halftime and then down 16 in the middle of the third quarter in the blink of an eye against a team that's playing scrubs. Like, I know they're in the NBA, but those are G League players. It cannot happen. He's got to do something different.
And I mean, we love the attitude of Tom Thibodeau, right? He's yelling to the refs on the sideline. He brings like what, as Giants fans, as we know, what we would hope of Joe Judge to say, like, oh yeah, I'm bringing the attitude and all of that of like right. New York City.
That New York attitude.
Right. Yeah. Like you see Thibodeau doing that when you see him like yelling on the refs when the Knicks don't get a call their way, he's in their face. So that's what you want to see out of a coach. But when you're not playing the players that the fans want, then there's a problem. And
it's so true. Like the biggest thing this year has been Obi. Like Obi has shown that he deserves more minutes, and he's just not getting it.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to watch these next three games and see what he does with Randall out. Because I hope he takes this opportunity and just completely runs with it and forcing Thibodeau to have no chance but to play him more.
So the last thing we do here is normally the next five game predictions. Toby, my co-host, will be back by after the Raptors game on Sunday. So we'll do the next two snacks. And I have his picks here because he was kind enough to text me but not join me for the episode. So F him, but whatever. I'll take it. The records are now I'm 18 and 12. He's 16 and 14. So coming back.
Ooh, all right, Josh. All right.
Yeah. I got five in a row. The last episode we did, we predicted the next five. I got all five of them right. And then this one, I dropped a few. But it's okay. I still get the lead. So it's going to be completing the road trip by the time the Raptors game ends, right? That's the last game on the road trip.
Yep.
Okay. So we got Thunder first. Toby had a W. I had a W. Snacks, your prediction is?
I have a W as well. I think they win their fourth in a row in OKC, and you know, they're not too talented of a team. I think they handle business.
I gotta hope so. Although when you play the worst team in the NBA and almost come up losing, but your bench wins it for you. I mean, good yeah. for them. But now you're playing
alarming.
The third worst team in the NBA, I want to say, is the Thunder right now. Second yes. worst in the Western Conference, only in front of the Rockets. You got to hope it's easy, but you never know. You never know.
Not with this Knicks team.
No, definitely not. And then you have the game against the Raptors. Again, whether it's confidence, whether it's, I don't know, happiness. Toby has a W, I have a W. Your prediction is?
I am going to go with a loss.
Okay.
I listen, it's hard for me to say that because I don't think Toronto is good, but I could see a team on a Sunday, last leg of the road trip, just kind of, I don't want to say dog walking it. You know, tips teams don't really get blown out often. But I could see them just being on tired legs, completely ready to get home. And that Fred VanVleet annoys the ever-living hell out of me. So I could see Toronto squeezing one out there, and probably in a devastating loss where we cough it up with like 3 minutes to go. But just I think the Knicks are more talented, and they'll have a day in between. It's after New Year's Eve, after New Year's. I could see them just being tired on the last day of the road trip and just kind of coughing one up here, unfortunately.
Raptors right now coming off two losses in a row. They play the Clippers tomorrow. You know, this is like, I'm looking at their scoreline. They played on Sunday the 26th, lost 144-99 to the Cavs. That's what I wanted to see last night. That's what I want to see. That when you play a team with five wins, the worst team in the NBA, and all that they have is their draft picks right now, the Pistons. Yes,
I didn't know. The only player I knew that was playing for the Pistons last night was Cassius Stanley, and only I didn't even know he was on the team. Only because I like, you know, I'm not a Michigan State fan, but I like Michigan State, and he played there. That's the only person I ever heard of. Crazy,
and
Garza too, but.
And the funniest part is they weren't even the top scorers. It was Sadiq Bey and Hamidou Diallo with 32 and 31, both of them.
Just completely, completely insane. And You know what? I forgot about that blowout Cleveland gave to Toronto. But I think Toronto is better than that. You know, they have an outstanding coach and a couple very good players. So it's just one of those games I could see them, you know, being favored in and should win, but. Circumstantially, I just last leg. It's in Canada. It's after New Year's. I don't know. And they could be on a 4-game winning streak at that point. So it's just it's a gut feeling that they dropped that one. And I hope I am wrong. I hope to God I am wrong.
Go follow Snacks on Twitter @snacks_BDGE. And luckily, I say as a Giants fan, we are heading towards the off season, which means the return of Bleeding Blue. Snacks and Justin Penick,
we
got a podcast there, Giants History. So if you're into that, please go check that out. And I'm definitely excited for it because I need to be done with the season. Two more games. I'll take the L's. I'll take the W against the Bears if that's really what we want to do to even it out between both. Because that's the thing, like Snacks. I mean, I know Nick's podcast, but like, do we want the Bears to win? That's two in a row. Like, I don't know how that works with the draft picks.
Yeah, I was asking a bunch of people this too. I'm like, do we want to win? Do we want to lose? And I've heard both arguments, but I think I'm at the point. If they win, I'm not going to care. Like, you know, if we win, I'm not gonna be mad. I'm not gonna be upset, whatnot. But I think it's better if we lose these next two games. Because if you go 4-13, you end the year on a losing streak like that. Big changes are coming, and we need big monumental changes. So I think. That would be in the best interest. And hopefully the Jets and Texans steal a game and we can get a top three pick. Top four.
Whatever. I hope so. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening.
We need it.
Seriously. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast and New York Knicks podcast. Subscribe. And I'll see you next time for another episode. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.